starting the recording, and welcome to everyone. Welcome to today's Urala monthly teleconference on Wednesday, the 18th of November at 1900 UTC. On today's call, we have Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Jean-Jacques Subronin, Oksana Prikotko, Roberto Gaetano, Wolf Ludwig, Pedro Vega, Vladimir Kukowski, Julia Morone, Jordi Iparagire, Lutz Donahake, Sebastian Bachelet, and Nadine Kachatran. Apologies noted from Uriel Lantipuro and Liana Galstian. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Silvia Vivanco, Gabriela Schittek, and myself, Gisela Gruber. And if I could please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you, and over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Gisela. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. And have we missed anybody in the roll call by any chance? Sometimes we do it.
This is Roberto.
Arrive.
You didn't. This is Roberto. You didn't miss me, but I wanted to check. No, you didn't miss me, but I wanted to check whether, because I had a problem with the microphone. Apparently, you can hear me, right?
It appears so, Roberto. Yes, it's Olivier speaking. We can hear you, Roberto, so thanks for testing your mic. Excellent. Well, let's go directly into agenda item number two, and that's the introduction of the new Uralo leadership. As you will have noticed, I am not Wolf, I'm Olivier, and I'm the new chair for Uralo, and Wolf Ludwig is now assuming the position of secretariat. Who he's also on the call. I haven't really got any welcoming message to add at this point in time. You've all been able to speak to me and meet me, or hopefully most of you have been able to speak to me and meet me in Dublin. Note as I've had a problem finding out where that was, because Dublin already feels so far, such a long time ago. But we do have a number of things to follow up with from the face-to-face discussions in Dublin, the General Assembly, which I thought went very well indeed, and we can then start planning for the next year and see where we're going to go and get Europe to be basically among the forefront of all the regions in the world as far as ICANN at large is concerned. As you know, we've got quite a few at-large structures, so we're in sort of the bulk number of at-large structures, but we have an enormous amount of knowledge in this region, and my feeling is that it's not being tapped to its fullest extent at the moment, and so we're not being able to channel so much energy into ICANN and into the different component parts of ICANN, the cross-community working groups, the ALAC and at-large working groups themselves, et cetera. But, you know, one step at a time. So the first step, I guess, is to put together a board and then to take it from there. So today's agenda is going to be primarily looking at the action items from Dublin. Then afterwards we'll have a discussion following up on the board itself, the Uralo board, and then a short discussion on the public interest document, which Wolf presented during the General Assembly. And finally, we'll have a quick rundown on the latest of the current ALAC consultations and initiatives and any of the public comments which you might be interested in attending to. Now, any other business, is there any other business to add to this? Does anybody wish to add anything to this call? I don't see anyone putting their hand up, so let's jump straight over to the action items. Just before that, let me just hand the floor over to Wolf for a minute. If, Wolf, you have any opening suggestions and so on to make. Wolf Ludwig?
It's Wolf for the records. No, I think all essentials there said and communicated by you already. Therefore, I have nothing to add at the moment.
Okay, thanks very much for this, Wolf. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. Let's then look at the action items. And in your agenda, you will see that there is a link to all of the ALAC action items for that illustrious week of the 18th to the 22nd of October. Scrolling further down, as someone is currently doing at the moment, is the one about the Uralo General Assembly. And in there were three action items. The first one, oh, someone's even taken a little green arrow there. Okay, oh, part number one. Here we go. Maybe we should unthink this. Here we go. So the first one, Sylvia Vivanco to coordinate with Uralo's chair on the board election. We're working on this at the moment. Uralo to develop criteria for the Uralo chair. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc and Wolf Ludwig to draft text before the next General Assembly. So there's still a bit of time, and we're going to be working on that very soon. Sylvia Vivanco to set up a wiki page on ideas for InReach and ask Uralo members to send in their comments. Sylvia, since a number of the action items are referring to you, are there any advances on this? Sylvia Vivanco, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you, Olivier. Well, as you said, we are coordinating the board elections. Regarding to set the action item to set up a wiki page on ideas for InReach, I believe that was an idea that was very briefly discussed and presented during the GA. So I believe we at this point need more information on what type of structure that wiki page will have and how that wiki page will help for InReach. So I think this is an action item for all of us to comment today. And there is one more action item, actually, that is with regards to the thesis paper on public interest that will be circulated among all other railers. And the idea is to decide today on the next steps, including whether or not to form a working group with all the railers to start a discussion on the public interest based on the paper drafted by Wolf, which was approved at the GA.
Thank you very much for this, Sylvia. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. And indeed, you've mentioned the action item from the second part of the General Assembly, and that's also something we need to move forward with. Has any of this been done so far?
We have acted on the board election, and the other action items are still pending.
Okay. Thanks very much, Sylvia. Are there any comments or questions by anyone on the call, actually? I don't see anyone putting their hand up. Oh, no, I do see someone putting his hand up. Jean-Jacques Subrenat, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Hello, can you hear me?
Very well, indeed. Go ahead.
Good. About InReach, I wanted to share with you something that we are starting on the individualusers.org association. We'll be having our first steering committee meeting soon, and one of the agenda items I'm proposing is to set up a poll asking our members what they think would be really necessary and what they expect, what their expectations are for the association. So I don't know if this has been done in the past 2 or 3 years in Uralo. If not, would it not be one way of getting people interested? And it would, of course, automatically feed into InReach. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Jean-Jacques. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. I'll ask Wolf Ludwig, who was the previous chair, when was a recent poll or survey sent out? I have a memory that it was quite recent. Wolf Ludwig?
Well, Wolf Ludwig for the records. Yes, there was a survey, but some time ago to my memory, about preferred topics, etc., what would be interesting for our members. So I think this was done in a similar way by other railos to find a little bit more out about particular preferences, and we had previous discussions what elements we could probably add to our monthly agenda to make the call more attractive to more members and not always the usual suspects. And I informally over the last years did a lot of direct consultations with members, particularly with those who did not participate continuously, to ask them and find out what could be done to get them more involved. And there was always, well, a lot of suggestions, being more discussion, etc., oriented, etc., and I encourage them, please, if you find the agenda as such too formal and too routinous, etc., you are always free to suggest topics for each monthly calls by yourself. So is there any particular issue on the European agenda, etc., you would like to discuss, etc., please just let us know, give me either a direct hint or post it on the Uralo list, etc., that we can include it in for the monthly agenda. But finally, I have hardly seen any direct follow-up or suggestions afterwards. So this is an ongoing endeavor, etc., and I think we have to find this out together in the next couple of weeks, and I think it may be a similar a challenge for the Uralo individuals, but your group is a little bit is less heterogeneous as the variety of our ALSs. You have a lot of insiders among the Uralo individuals, and I think with your typical composition and membership, you must sort out your priorities. I'm not sure that surveys always is a good instrument to help in this respect. I think informal contacts, in my opinion, are sometimes more helpful than launching another survey.
Okay, thank you very much, Wolf. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking, and I was also referring to, I thought that there was a survey of skills in at-large structures, or at least skills in Uralo at-large structures. Was that not the latest survey that we had?
Right. Maybe. Right. Wolf Ludwig again. Yes, this was one of the last surveys, but this was a survey which was launched by Lacralo, and we also participated on the Uralo level. I think it was launched in early summer, and I was very skeptic at the beginning. But finally, I think we had some reasonable participation from our members. To my recollection, we had around 20, so about two-thirds of our members participated in, but this was about skills, special skills among our ALSs.
Okay, thanks very much for this, Wolf. It's Olivier speaking. I don't want to spend the whole call on this thing, but obviously, one thing that we are going to need to do is to analyze this survey and perhaps even provide some feedback, maybe during the next call, provide some feedback to everyone about where our skills lie and where we can therefore be perhaps more performant in responding to public consultations and things like that. It's exactly the skills that I referred to earlier in my introductory remarks. Jean-Jacques, any follow-up by any chance? Or thanks for letting us know about this survey. But as you can see, there are surveys going on. I know that there is a group, the Capacity Building Working Group, and there's also the InReach Working Group that are currently looking at all of the responses from the surveys in the different regions. The heterogeneity of those responses and surveys, because they're not all the same, has introduced some difficulty in analysis. And so they are thinking of looking at having maybe another survey that will have maybe better targeted questions, maybe even receiving help from professional help from people who know how to write surveys that provide meaningful results. So at this point in time, it might be a little premature to send another survey right away, but in a couple of months' time, hopefully the aforementioned working groups will have made some progress, and it is hoped that they will have a more complete survey that we can then send to everyone, and that is not only enjoyable to respond to, but at the same time provide some meaningful responses that will be helpful for us to understand and for the Urala board to understand and take action. Let's get moving, if you don't mind. So we've done the we've done all of the action items. Let's move down to the Urala board and the discussion of the document draft selection and performance criteria for Urala board members and Urala relevant rules and board election. You will have seen in your email a note first from Roberto Gaetano, but also followed by a note from Jean-Jacques Subrenard regarding the makeup of the Urala board. At the moment, the bylaws are saying that the Urala board should have a minimum of 5 members, but could be more. And in previous years, we have had more than 5 members. In fact, anybody who was who volunteered and was nominated would be on the board. As we've already seen and we've discussed this, it hasn't been such a great success with regards to the board actually working together and doing things. And so the proposal made by Roberto, and I think also made by others, and I've certainly heard that in Dublin, in the corridors and at the end of the Urala General Assembly, is that we have a smaller, more active, and perhaps a more nimble board that could take action and do things, and that could actually even also have some members of the board being given specific tasks. So you could have someone who would be the champion of outreach or inreach or capacity building, or on specific topics, if there are some topics that Urala wishes to concentrate on. And I so far have not seen any pushback towards this. I've seen some support, but I guess here, this discussion here is the start of the discussion. As you will have seen, I've just sent an email about an hour or half an hour ago before this call, and I was going to propose a number of things and do some, well, issue a consensus call, here we go, finally found it, on the number of things. First, that we would record the country of the at-large structure or the country of residence, if it's an individual member who wishes to be on the board, in the nominations and show them in an additional column so as to be able to then decide on whether we wish to have this person. And we will have to take geographical location in account, bearing in mind that in the bylaws, it is said that the board members need to be as much as possible from different countries. Secondly, if there are no objections in the next 7 days, and I was going to do a consensus call in 7 days, the size of the Urala board should be, at least for this year, 5 members. Thirdly, if there are no objections in the next 7 days, the Urala board should be balanced as per the suggestion which was made by Jean-Jacques Subrenard. And if there are no objections in the next 7 days, we should develop a board recall process. And I think that this is not something we need to develop right away, as in the next couple of weeks, but certainly start an action to put together a process by which we can recall Uralo board members, because it would be a serious thing. And I think that if we follow processes, it probably will make it a lot easier to remove a Uralo board member that is not performing performing their function or that has gone that has totally disappeared, than having to build some processes at the time itself, and these processes might be seen as being unfair. So these are the first four. And secondly, the other question I'm asking here is whether we should have a five-member board, including the chair and secretariat, so that makes five people in total, or it would be five-member board plus the chair and plus the secretariat, which would make it seven people in total. And with that, I therefore open the floor. I realize it's a lot of questions, but I'm hoping that we're going to get some answers. First is Jean-Jacques Subrenat. You have the floor, Jean-Jacques.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques. So I'll try to answer several of your questions, starting with the number of board members. I agree that a more compact board would be perhaps more operational, and five is a good number. But in my interpretation, five would include chair and secretary. However, having said that, I think there are two ways to make the thing even more active. One is to enlarge slightly this number, let's say six or seven, but I'm not sure that that is really the most effective way. And the other way would be, as you just suggested, earlier, to ask individual board members to assume for a given period this or that particular task which comes our way and which we consider is important. For instance, studying one particular topic which is on the agenda of Uralo. My third point about the size of the board, but rather about the criterion of country of origin you mentioned earlier. I was nominated for this board by Roberto as the founder of the individualusers.org association, of which I am now the president or chair. It so happens that this association is actually virtual as far as its physical location is concerned. The website was created with help from one of our members in Ireland, but Roberto is in Austria. Wale is from an African country and he is resident in London, and I myself am French and living in France. So I think that there should be just a bit of flexibility, perhaps not for individuals who are self-nominated or nominated, but at least for those of us who are nominated not only as individuals, but also on behalf of an ALS, which is the case I just mentioned.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Jean-Jacques. That's setting the scene quite well and launching the discussion pretty well indeed. Let's go to Sébastien Bachelet.
Thank you, Olivier. Maybe to recall the board, you can ask the CCWG on accountability to do the work. I don't see anybody laughing, but
I
think we may not spend too much time on that. I guess we will elect each year, each year or each 2 years a board, and It may not be a so big deal, but I really think that what it's important is that we end up with real diversity, and I hope that we will not pick the same usual suspect, but try to have new blood,
That's one way to be more engaged with Uralo, and therefore with at large, and that's a good way to go to one step further. And to be totally frank, I think that somebody already member of ALAC is not supposed to be a candidate to be on the board, and I really think that member of the NOMCOM need to be the same. If Uralo decide to have all those people participating to the board, great. If you decide something different, that's okay with me too, but I really think that we need to have new people as much as possible, and new blood, and not people with already hats on her or his head. It's very important to ensure real share of the workload. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sébastien. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. And so far, I am seeing in the nominations page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9 people.
9 people, yeah.
From several countries. And I don't see anyone being members of the ALAC. There certainly is one person who is in the NOMCOM, I believe, but there's no member of the ALAC per se on there. There are no rules as such at the moment with regards to the board composition. But it does say, though, that these people would be selected. And what I was going to suggest is that we actually have a fair and square election on the board members, bearing in mind, of course, that Wolf Ludwig and I have been selected already. So if we were to settle for a 5-member board, there would be 3 positions that would have to be distributed amongst the 9 people listed, or if we were to decide on a 5 plus 2, we could have 5 positions that could be distributed among those people that are present. Let's go down the list. Wolf Ludwig, you're next.
Yeah, thanks, Olivier. Wolf Ludwig for the record. Just some points for clarification. In the past, we always had the chair and secretariat as ex officio members of the board. This means they were not considered, so to say, as members with a voting right in the board, but they were part of the board in their functions as the Uralo leadership. But in my opinion, makes perfectly sense. We also had more or less a kind of informal rules that we adopted the current ALEC members also being part of this group, but not being particularly elected board members. So I would like to support the idea, let's reduce the numbers to 5 people at the moment. And I think out of the 9 candidates, there are 5 people at least who should be considered. I also agree that priority should be given to newcomers and not to people who have been on the board previously over years and didn't contribute too much. And the last point is that the period for board members is, as for Uralo officers, is 2 years. I hope that this further infos may help for clarification.
Thank you very much, Rolf. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. I've read in there, it does say 2 years, but renewable after 1 year. Does that mean that in general it is a 2-year term, except
In general it's a 2 years a term, because we agreed at the very beginning it doesn't make much sense to have a re-election after 1 year and to have a disparity between leadership terms and board member terms.
Okay, thanks for this, Wolf. Now, secondly, I've also noticed in the bylaws that it mentions that only half the board should be elected every year. So it's a two-year term with half and one time, half and the other. We haven't had that going on. So on this occasion, I would say we'd probably have to have the whole board selected in one go rather than just going for half and retaining the other half, since it hasn't worked in a half and half fashion so far. Is that
right.
Correct, Wolf?
Right. Yeah,
okay,
yeah, you are right. We said, the board was more than a phantom in the past, so wasting too much time every year with rediscussion and reselection of board members didn't make much sense. So my suggestion would be give the constructs, give the board a new chance, give them a period for 2 years, and if it will finally now for the first time work out, then we can discuss whether we come back to the original idea to say, okay, it would be perhaps wise to exchange some of the members after a year, but I think people who are well performing shouldn't be replaced after 1 year. I think we could consider that people who are on the board and do not contribute a lot, then we can reconsider, as you mentioned earlier, Olivier, we can reconsider such people and replace them by more contributing people.
Thank you very much, Wolf. Olivier Crefin-Leblanc speaking. And so Sylvia, for everyone's information, has very kindly put the right article of association. It's number 9.5.1. Which is exactly, here we go, she's done a cut and paste. So my suggestion there is for us to hold fair and square elections as such with the people that are nominated and from this then we would, I mean the feeling I have is if people are actually selected to the board by being elected from the at-large structures, their responsibility is towards the at-large structures that have voted for them. And that would certainly make this both a more legitimate process than having a selection of them just like that. But it would also, I think, certainly put pressure on them to perform and to do things. Are there any other thoughts on that? Wolf Ludwig?
No.
Okay. Your hand is down. Thank you. Anyone has anything to add? And a note from Alan. Hopefully, allegiance is to Uralo and not only the at-large structures that voted for them. Indeed. But I'm saying as the electorate, if you want, Alan, the electorate being all Uralo at-large structures. Obviously, the I would say that such a vote would be by secret ballot, because as a result, it would it will greatly reduce any tensions that might be brought in by X voting for Y and not voting for Z, etc., etc. Usually, whenever there is a selection of people, whether it's an election and so on, it usually is done by secret ballot. And at the same time, what I think would work then is to have just a standard system where all of the names are put on the ballot and each ALS is given, each at-large structure is given one vote and is able to vote for people. And what we would basically have is the highest number of votes. And we would have to take into account the country. So if you have, let's say, three candidates that have the highest number of votes that all are coming from the same country, then you would take the highest candidate and have them in the board, and then you would have to then look at the person in the fourth position, if they are from a different country, and that they would be receiving a space on the board, et cetera, et cetera. Is that clear? Julia Morenes, you have the floor.
Yes, good evening. Thank you. Thank you, Olivier. I wanted just to actually to suggest, because you were mentioning the country, can we also take into account the region? Because I think it's very important to have the regional balance as well, and particularly think about Eastern Europe and Western Europe, you know, in order to have the balance, as well as a gender balance. So if you have the five candidates, I think it would be, well, quite important to have at least two candidates, like female or three, and two or three males. So we, you know, we can ensure the very fluent and balanced selection, I would say. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much for this, Julia. That's a very good point. But it complicates things. I'm now having a bit of a challenge. How can one have all of these taken into account? So both gender balance and geographical balance and the country, and keep it as an actual open vote that is in secret ballot. That's going to be rather difficult. But I guess we have to work this one out. Julia Morenes, you have the floor. Julia, you are probably muted. Hello?
Yes.
Perhaps I'm muted. Yes, go ahead, Julia. And we cannot hear you. Okay, we probably have a technical problem for Julia. Let's hear from Jean-Jacques Subrenat next.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques speaking. I very much agree with the point made by Julia, and I'm sorry that a technical problem does not allow her to intervene before I do, but all the same. I think we should take on board the suggestions Julia has made, but we cannot rearrange the candidates, because after all, the whole point about asking for candidates to come forward is the spontaneity and especially their willingness to serve. So in order to take account of that reality, but also of Julia's suggestions, I would put forward this idea or suggestion, that when the vote goes out, the notice to all members who have voting powers goes out, then the chair of Euralo would add a couple of lines saying that it would be desirable that a sufficient level of diversity is achieved in the vote, and you can put the various criteria which have been mentioned by Julia, and which, by the way, many of us have defended in all sorts of circumstances, whether on the ICANN board, in ALAC, or elsewhere. I think that would set the framework and remind our voters about the guidelines or principles, but at the same time leave the level of freedom which is implied in a secret ballot. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jean-Jacques. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. That sounds like a good way forward. Yulia, have you managed to hear Jean-Jacques' proposal? Would that fit with your thoughts?
Yes, Olivier, do you hear me now?
Yeah.
Hello? Yes.
Yes, we can hear you now.
Yes, I apologize for this technical problem indeed. Yes, I heard actually partly. Probably yes. I wanted just to put forward the suggestion actually, as we do and as it's planned actually during the MAC selection, and as you were suggesting, you know, if we have like let's say the three candidates, the best candidates selected from the country X, and we have them, for example, from the same country X. So we can take the better rated candidate, the first one. So I think we probably should do the same with the gender selection and with the geographical selection as well. So let's say the better score for the candidate is for this region, let's say, and for female or for male. So like this, you know, we can absolutely have the perfect gender balance and geographical balance as well. And I know it's done more or less the same way during the MAC selection for the Global IGF as well. So thank you for this.
Yes, thanks very much for this, Julia. Olivier speaking. The only thing I can see is if one starts tampering with results, there is a hard, there's a wall here, which is that at the moment the nominations only have two women, that's Aneta and yourself. And so if one is to say the board should be composed of five, and that would be three male and two female, that effectively just puts, there is no need to even be a vote for you and for Aneta. You're automatically in there, and the three remaining seats would have to be contended between the remaining candidates that are all male. So that's where I do have a bit of a question as to how one is able to mix the gender balance whilst mixing also the geographical balance and mixing the election as such. Looking at this, I have Jean-Jacques and then Yolia again. So Jean-Jacques Subrena again.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques. No, it was just to react to Yulia's comment. I very much agree with her reasoning, which is that there is a necessity to provide more and balance and variety. On the other hand, as someone who has followed electoral matters and voting matters for a long time professionally, I can say that there is also a degree of difficulty lies in the proposed method, which is that if you start adding criteria, then at some point, either spontaneously or because the method will be challenged by someone, you will have to establish an order of priority among the additional criteria. Gender come first, or region, or country, or experience, or length of service already on new role or what. So if I may say this as someone slightly older than the average on this call, I would suggest that we go for a reminder by the chair of URAN. At the beginning of the vote notice, all the desirable criteria. But I really think, Julia, that it's actually quite difficult to ensure a completely fair and spontaneous electoral process by stipulating the criteria you have mentioned and for the reasons that I just developed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Father Jean-Jacques. Next is Julia Moreira.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Olivier. Well, just to follow, apologies to take the floor once again. Just to follow on what you said about the two female candidates, I obviously this is the quite obvious case. Well, from my personal perspective, I can, if the community will think so, I can personally withdraw my candidate and my application to be board member. But I do think this is very important to have this geographical balance. As we have already the board, the leadership presented by, you know, which is the great leadership, but we have already two male representatives, and they're from one region. I think it will be essential to have at least, you know, particularly the Eastern Europe and the female representatives being board members, in order to have also the diversity of views and the new views and the new suggestions to be brought into the discussion. So I think this is obviously will be quite difficult to achieve, but I think this is the essential, and this is the multi-stakeholder principles of the ICANN and of all ICANN selections. So I definitely think we can and we have to work on this, even if it's quite difficult, definitely to achieve. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much for this, Julia. And I don't want us to be stuck in just on this agenda item. We do have only 10 minutes remaining to this call because we have a hard stop immediately afterwards. I wanted to get moving, and we can certainly continue the discussion by email afterwards. I don't see a consensus yet on this point. Roberto, you've just put your hand up. Let's speak. Let's have Roberto and then move on in our agenda, and we can continue certainly the process and the discussion by email. Roberto Gaetano.
It's just a quick thing. I think that the reason why I was proposing country as one of the factors to be taken into account is because I'm feeling just one thing, that depending on how we do the voting, there may be one block of at-large structures that may end up in electing a wide majority, so to speak, of the board, and that will be a sort of an unfair thing. We have to consider that our at-large structures are divided by, belong to specifically to a country, with a few exceptions. So that the distinction by country is something that tends to be more prone to tilted voting than distinction by gender or distinctions by region. And that's the reason why I was proposing the country, but not the gender and region that I consider also equally, if not even more, valuable as distinctions. But at this point in time, probably a little bit premature. Thank you.
Thanks for this, Roberto. Olivier Crapin-Leblanc speaking. As I said, we're going to continue this on the email. And let's move on to summarize on what we've discussed here. So I'll be forwarding an email to the Uralo mailing list based on the discussions that we've had today. And I note that there has been no objections to the five members of the board plus two ex officio, it seems to be. So we basically have five slots to fill. And I also note that there has been no objection to the geographical diversity. The only point at the moment of disagreement or of various points being expressed is to do with the gender diversity criteria. But there's also at the moment agreement that we should have an open election that would be using secret ballot. And what we might wish to do is to perhaps even ask each one of the candidates to write a few words about themselves, because I'm not sure that everyone knows everyone. Certainly, most people know the candidates having met at the General Assembly, but in some cases, the voting member of the at-large structure was not the person that traveled to Dublin, so they might not really know much about the person themselves. That's the current summary, and we'll have... I was thinking about perhaps a call with the candidates, but we haven't had a chance to discuss this. So think about whether we want to have a call with the candidates. I'm not sure if there's that much interest into having a full electoral process, but I'll be suggesting this on the follow-up email. Right, let's then move on, and the next thing is the discussion of the public interest. There was a document which was discussed during the full second
Olivier.
Time, yes.
Olivier.
Wolf.
Just a question, a point of order, Wolf Ludwig, for the record. As we are running short of time, we have 4 minutes left. I suggested in the chat to postpone the discussion of agenda item 5 of the public interest document to the next call. I see no urgency at the moment to have this discussed and settled tonight, so we are a little bit late already. So my suggestion would be simply postpone it to the next call.
Thank you very much for this, Wolf. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. That's a good point. Thanks for suggesting this. I'm fine with moving it to the next call. I just wanted to let you know that there was a discussion about the public interest that took place at the Internet Governance Forum, and perhaps an action item would be to forward the recording of that, or the pointer to the recording of that session at the Internet Governance Forum for our members to consider and watch in their own time, and then we can discuss this during the next call.
That's
I note that Sébastien. Okay, thanks, Wolf, for this. I note that Sébastien Bachelet has put his hand up. Sébastien, you have the floor.
No, but thank you very much, Olivier, but it was on the point before, and I really feel that you changed topics. That will be next time. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for this, Sébastien. Now, for the last few minutes, we have to look at the work that has been done, or that is currently being done by the ELAC, the current consultations. I know that we have Alan Greenberg on the call. I don't know whether he's able to take us through these very quickly. Alan Greenberg being the ALEC chair. So welcome, Alan.
Thank you. Unfortunately, I'm leaving right now to chair a webinar, which is starting in 2 minutes. So
okay.
I'm afraid you're going to have someone else will have to do that.
Okay. Thanks very much for this, Alan. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. And so, fine. I'll take you through these. Recent statements approved by the ALEC. There was a preliminary issue report on the new GTLD subsequent procedures. That's the next round of the new GTLDs. The process is starting. The statement was adopted by the ALEC. There is also one on the the statement was adopted by the ALEC. There was also a statement on the use of country and territory names as top-level domains. The ALEC ratified this. You have the link to each one of these statements in the agenda. There was a new GTLD, so new generic top-level domain auction proceeds discussion paper that was published, and the ALEC also commented on this. Currently, there are two statements that are being drafted, one on the implementation of the registration data access protocol. This is a protocol that goes a little bit further than the current system, which is called the WHOIS system, where everyone has access to every single record. The new system would have several levels of access that would be possible. They've invented a new acronym, RDAP. So there is currently a statement being drafted. Please have a look at the planned implementation paperwork and documentation, and the public comment period closes internally in 2 days' time, but it's still time to jot down your notes on this. The internal comment period closes in 2 days' time, but it's time for you to just have a quick look. And again, secondly, there is the .meet. Yes, .meet, a registry has asked that they could remove their searchable WHOIS service. There's someone, Harold Arkoff, is currently drafting a statement. If you have any points on this, please note it. Secondly, there's a statement that seems to be stalled at the moment. That's the IAG initial report and proposed revisions to the ICANN procedure on WHOIS conflicts with privacy laws. We're very strong about privacy in Europe, so if our champions could please have a look at this. The statement was due to close on the 17th of November, which was yesterday. If anybody feels like saving this from the abyss, then please jump on that and have a look at it. There are new public comments coming up at the moment. The preliminary issue report for a generic name supporting organization policy development process to review all the rights protection mechanisms in all the generic top-level domains. It's a mouthful. It's all to do with rights protection mechanism, intellectual property rights. And I know we've got some champions in our region on this one, so if you could please have a look at that, and if you want to get involved, you're very welcome to do so. The new generic top-level program, top-level domain program implementation review draft report. It's the first review of the program implementation and what went well, what went less well, what was a total failure, and what was a total success. There's some time to respond to this. Please have a read through that. Guidelines for developing reference label generation rule sets for the second level. That's to do with the internationalized domain names. Much more complicated than just reading simple reports. It gets a bit technical there. If you haven't been in this, I wouldn't recommend that you have a look at it. But if you have been interested in internationalized domain names, and we do have some members even present on this call who have been following this, then please have a look at that and comment on it. Proposed implementation of generic name supporting organization policy development process recommendations on inter-registrar transfer policy part D. My goodness, there are enough letters in this. It's, something quite complicated related to the transferring a domain name from one registrar to another registrar. I cannot remember for the life of me what part D is. It's just one of the several subparts of the problem. If you have had an interest in this in the past, please have a look. If you have never even read about this, I would say it's a little complicated and a bit difficult. But you could still read this sort of bedtime reading. And finally, the GTLD marketplace, so a generic top-level domain marketplace health index proposal, a call for comments and volunteers. Please have a look at that and respond. We still have some time. That's the policy development going on at the moment. I'm told that we are 2 minutes over time, which means that we're going to have to end this call. But before ending this call, I just wanted to let you know of one thing that is starting at this very minute, right now, yes. And that's the capacity building program about the GNSO policy development process, the PDP. It would be great if someone could put the link to the Adobe Connect room in the agenda, in the chat, because if you're interested in this, it should be starting imminently, and it's something that's quite interesting. It'll tell you, rather than having to read about it, you can watch it. And someone will tell you how the policy development process takes place and how you can take part in it. That's it from me. Is there any other business? I don't see anyone putting their hand up, so I hope to see you all in a couple of minutes in the capacity building webinar. And I thank you for your attendance. Thanks to our staff who has run this call. And let's, as I said, follow up on the email. I really look forward to having Urala being a vibrant part of At Large. So let's work together on this. Thanks, and this call is now adjourned. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.